Hi, everyone, and welcome to Remaking Tomorrow, a series of conversations about the future of teaching and learning. I'm Ryan Rudzewski, here with Greg Baer, and we are the co-authors of When You Wonder, You're Learning, Mr. Rogers' Enduring Lessons for Raising Creative, Curious, Caring Kids.
This is a podcast powered by Remake Learning, a network that ignites engaging and relevant learning in support of young people navigating rapid social and technological change.
On today's very special episode, we are here with five students. Five students who are here to talk about what school means to them, what school could be for them, what their greatest learning experiences have looked like and felt like, and how all of us, parents, caregivers, educators, can support them in becoming the best of whoever they are. Please enjoy this very special episode of Remaking Tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Waylon, and I'm 13 years old.
Hi, I'm Sammy, and I'm 17.
Hello, I'm Lotus, and I'm 17.
Hello, I'm Donnie, and I'm 18.
Hi, my name is Adrian, and I'm 18 years old.
Can you describe for us the best day you've ever had in school? Like, what is it about that experience, or maybe it was even just a single moment, that stands out to you as, man, I wish we could do this more often?
Interestingly enough, it was a pig dissection in my biology class. I'm not going to get too graphic, but it was last year for AP Bio. We just finished the AP exam. So I don't know if everyone knows this, but at least for my school, teachers are pretty relaxed because you kind of got over the biggest hurdle of the year. And that's when he decided to schedule the pig dissection, interestingly enough. But what was fun about it was very surprisingly hands-on and not based on instruction. But he just kind of gave us the pigs. We had a paper and we had instructions and we just had to figure it out. And the ability for me to work with people in my classroom, anybody I wanted. And we were just having a really good time talking to each other and trying to figure out how to do something that we've never, ever done before, kind of based off our own thought processes, not a thought process pushed onto us by a teacher or another administrator. It was the most fun I've had in that class.
Now I have to say my best learning day ever was definitely not pig dissection. And for you, it was. What are the feelings that you still feel today when you think about that best day of learning?
I would say control. Hmm. I think having your own autonomy over your learning is really important, at least for me, and I'm sure a lot of people as well, because I had full control over that day. I would also say laughter. A lot of us, couldn't figure out how to do anything first, so it was a mess, as you can guess. But everyone was laughing, and I would also say it was very cheerful. Though, interestingly enough, the words I think of are not academic words per se, but they're more feelings that you associate with really positive times. And I think bringing in those feelings into a learning environment is what makes that experience amazing.
Waylon, can you tell us about your best day of school ever? What happened?
Every year on the seventh day of school, they have this thing called Proud to be Inglemore Day. It's basically a day where there's like no classes, there's like no homework, and it's always on a Friday. So basically, like, you'd come to school, this homeroom session, and then you'd go to like the cafeteria or whatever, or like gymnasium, and you would play these like mini games. It's called like Homeroom Olympics, or these bunch of mini games that each homeroom like picks people to represent their homeroom, and you can like a bunch of these fun games. And it was not only that, like after that you would have lunch or whatever, and then there'd be like movie or like karaoke. And I remember the one thing about that day that I was kind of nervous about was because my birthday was on that day, and during the gymnasium when like the gym teacher did the announcements, I was hoping they wouldn't call me for my birthday because then they would sing to me for the entire school. But then they said the very last thing, this, they're like, we have one very special birthday. And then they called me down, and then I just got sang to by the entire school for like 20 seconds. It was like the most embarrassing 20 seconds of my entire life.
What, did you have feelings other than feeling embarrassed?
Yeah.
I don't think that many people have ever sang to me in my life.
It was exciting. It was kind of fun, yeah, being called down and then walking back up, adrenaline pumping.
What about you, Lotus?
I had this teacher. Her name was Miss Skinner, around 10th or 11th grade. And every Friday, we do this thing called Freestyle Friday. And she had a whole bunch of art supplies, clay, paint, airbrushes, clothes to airbrush on. We would be able to do whatever we want for the entire Friday.
Whoa.
With the art stuff. Sometimes we would just put on a beat, and me, her, and a bunch of the other students would just kick up a little cypher freestyle type of thing. And it was so much fun.
Donnie, what for you was the best day ever?
It was less of a singular day and more of a series of days, because just last year, Miss Sebastian, she went completely off curriculum and said, you know what, we're going to look at this specific true crime thing, and I want you to give me your thoughts about it. And throughout each time we had class and we were talking about this specific crime, how it was covered, the area it was in, how lax a lot of it was, and how dismissive a lot of the authorities were, it was so much fun. It was one of the only times where the entire class was participating and bouncing off of each other. We got to put our heads together and try to think of, well, who could be the killer? Who could be the person that assisted, and et cetera, et cetera. And by the end of it, when we did figure out who was convicted, a lot of us were right. It felt somewhat cathartic because we were invested at that point.
Similar question of Greg, like, what are some of the words you would use to describe, like, what the feelings?
Aside from fun, I feel like it was very interactive. We got to think about this together, talk about it together, and then we reached an ending together as well.
So there are people in this world who study brain development. They study the science of learning. They are studying adolescent development. What are the things that you want them to know about who you are and who your peers are?
I come from a very dysfunctional household. Whenever I'm in class and students are going off, teachers trying to calm them down, oddly enough, I'm able to focus harder in that sort of environment because it's what I'm used to. I'd say the environment that we grow up in really shapes the way that we process things and how we learn.
And would it be helpful, in your opinion, for educators and for scientists to be more intentional about how those environments are created?
Yeah, I'd say precision is key when it comes to that. Because what works for somebody won't work for the next person.
Right.
My personal theory is that there is no common way to optimize the human learning experience. We all learn at a different pace for different reasons.
You're always expected, at least in school, to learn at a certain pace or be able to have a certain reading level at a certain time. It always takes possibly a different amount of time for everybody, depending on situation, depending on possibly disability, depending on all sorts of nuances and factors. And I feel like in a lot of conversations today, it's always broader strokes just to talk about things that are way bigger than that.
AI, I feel like, needs to be brought up. It's this tool I think people attach to being lazy or not doing your work. But I think what's important is to also understand that trying to stop it isn't probably going to do anything realistically. I think AI is used in so many things that people, even teachers, use it in their systems now. Like, my new school system just switched to Canvas, and a lot of that has to do with AI. So I think it's important for it, honestly, to be part of the curriculum and training for teachers.
So the adults around you are likely wrestling with something like AI. And as they wrestle with new systems, new concepts, new technologies like AI, what is it that they need to know about you and the ways that you learn?
I would say that I'm very over-consumed with technology. I think a lot of us have technology consumption 24/7. And that's something that we can't always control either. If I'm scrolling through my Instagram feed, I can't control what video I see next. And that could easily dictate how I feel about an opinion, how I want to talk about an issue, and how I maybe feel for the rest of the day. We're almost in the same place too. We're also grappling with technology. I think a lot of times people assume that this generation understands technology fully, but I can say, at least for myself, I don't. I just know that it's a system and it's there and I use it, but I don't necessarily know how to process it all.
If there are five ingredients that educators and the adults around you, whether it's in school, a museum, a library, could put together, these are the ingredients that would help you to flourish, to thrive. What are the five ingredients that go into that place, that thing, that allow you to flourish?
I'd say creativity, structure, support, compassion, and respect. it's something that's healthy and promotes better ideas.
I kind of want to build over what Lotus said about structure. When those who are in bigger forms of power, when they hear creativity and freedom and the ability to have control over certain things, they think that that means no structure, to just allow children to just do whatever they want. To have that structure is most definitely important because it teaches routine, it teaches discipline. It shows a sense of stability at a younger age that could be missing in other parts of their lives at the current moment.
Is it important for you in any way to have a say in what that structure, what those rules look like?
Absolutely. When you're a baby and everybody's making all of these decisions for you behind your back and you have no say in it. It's good whenever you're an infant because you can't formulate the thoughts and the opinions to object it. But when you get older, it's like, hey, come on, guys, I have a voice. This is what I think.
Yeah.
Sammy, what are your ingredients?
Understanding that we have endless questions. Understanding that we're also humans new at the world and life. Empathy for a student's life and how you don't know what they're experiencing. Purposely challenging people to think differently than they do. And I would say emphasizing how important it is to have a fun time. School can be a fun environment. It's just stereotypically not. I think that's the biggest thing that needs to shift in like focusing that you can have a pleasant time at school. You're there for 8 hours, 5 days a week anyways, so you might as well try to make it as fun as possible.
Imagine yourself when you're our age, when you've been out of school for a long, long time. Can you describe the person that you hope you'll be?
I want to be a musical artist, be able to like help kids through like hard times and stuff, like use music as like therapy.
And what words do you hope, Adrian, people will use to describe who you are as a human being?
Kind, hard worker, never give up.
Waylon, what are the words you hope someone will use someday when they talk about Waylon decades from now?
I hope they use the words like successful, smart, intelligent, kind, know that he's very bold and he is not afraid to speak what he thinks.
And what is he boldly doing in this world?
He hopefully is in a law. He gets a good green law, might be a lawyer of some sorts, lives a good life, a sustainable one.
For you, what is a sustainable life?
A decent house. You can pay the mortgage, you can pay the taxes, you have a good family, good friends, you can play video games every once in a while, or you can find happiness in some sort of way, like separating your personal life and your work life.
Sammy, tell us about the person you hope to become.
I see myself hopefully making an impact in the public and private sector of the world, especially in healthcare, making services and products that are more accessible to people around the world. It's interesting to me how the same person with the same disability, depending where they are, can't access the same resources or maybe not the same prices. So I see myself making an impact there, either building off of what's been started and or making something new that people haven't seen before.
What about you, Donnie? Kind of person you want to be?
I kind of feel bad hearing everyone speak of inspiration and making an impact when me personally, I just want to be able to live a comfortable life where I can do what I love in my own little private spot in the world. Through hearing everything that's happening in the world, I feel so tired, and I just want to be able to have my possibly nice home where I can enjoy being with family and friends and writing or, you know, doing anything else that I love, really.
Yeah, I don't think that's selfish at all. I think you find hope when people are doing the thing that they love and they're doing it in safety and comfort and they can be the best version of themselves. What are the things that you love, the things that you want to just be able to do?
One of the things that really inspired me when I was younger and really brought me into writing and the creative world in general was video games. Because when I was younger, I wasn't really accepted into my community as a child and I didn't have that chance to play with other kids and all of that. So I was a shut-in for a majority of my life where all I had was media. I had unrestricted internet access as a child. So through seeing everything throughout the years, It's really shaped me as I am now and really shaped my perception of my own creativity.
We as people, we identify ourselves with the accomplishments that we have and the things that we achieve. So in order to be somebody, you have to do something, even if it's small.
Both you and Adrian started right away with, like, I want to inspire other people. Because I'm sure some of this filters down to you all. Like, what adults are often saying about your generation is that you're apathetic and disengaged. And yet the first thing we heard from both of you is, like, no, we want to light a fire under our peers. Do you hear that sort of stuff from adults? And like, do people help you inspire other people?
Some people. My mom helps me. My mom and my brother.
And what is it about your relationship with them that's been so beneficial to you and so meaningful to you?
Anytime I play one of my songs with my mom, she always just smiles. She'd be like, oh, this is really good. And my brother be like, make sure you keep recording. Don't give up on your dreams and stuff.
That's great.
I feel like one of the biggest things that we are lacking right now as a society and a community is hope. That feeling that things are going to get better. You can make a difference. And just the phrase, you can. That's hope to me. Being able to look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm going to change something today.
And where do you find hope in a society that's lacking it?
You take it where you can. You try your best not to let things damper you, because it's really easy to fall under all of it. And you look at the kids and how innocent and how loving they are of everything and the world around them, because it's all so new to them.
Thank you to Waylon, Sammy, Adrian, Lotus, and Donnie. Remaking Tomorrow is powered by Remake Learning. Learn more at remakelearning.org.